The epistle is from James chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man, and not the rich, the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court. Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. New mother got up one night, heading towards the nursery where her little baby was, and she was kind of surprised. Her husband was standing right next to the crib, and he had this look of total amazement on his face. And as she was watching him, his expressions kind of changed to doubt, delight, amazement, a little bit skeptical. She goes, "Wow, I've never seen this." So she walked up, put her hand just the only way a mother can do on her newborn infant, and says to her husband, "A penny for your thoughts." He said, "I can't believe we got this crib for 50 bucks. He was amazed at the wrong thing. And that does connect to our gospel lesson. Something else that was amazing. All right, guys, please tell me you remember the old Star Trek. Remember watching that back in the day? Man, they had some wild technology, like they put a stick to the forehead and got somebody's temperature. Then they had these little devices like that that you could talk into, and people far away could hear you. And then they had these computers that were on their hip that could do everything, but the one I always was absolutely amazed with, a computer you could talk to. Can you imagine that technology? Well, back when I was young, man, I was amazed at that stuff. I thought that was the coolest stuff ever. So I sat my kids down. I had them watch a couple of the old original Star Trek, because there's only one Captain Kirk, but we won't get into that one. And my kids looked at me and said, "So what? We got that stuff." The amazement was gone. Is there really anything today that amazes us as people? The gospel says, yes, there is something amazing. Yes, we are amazed at the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We are amazed that we live with God's grace in spite of who we are. The Old Testament lesson was from Isaiah. He's talking to a people who have been exiled to a foreign land under a constant threat that they could be killed or moved. So they were suffering persecution. Again, but exiled to a foreign land away from everyone and everything they ever knew. And Isaiah says there's an amazing expectation here that God is going to free his people. There's reason to rejoice. But don't get focused on the wrong part of the amazement. The amazement is not that he's going to rescue his people. It's amazing, but it's not the big thing. It is the fact that he is going to give freedom, eternal life to all those who call on him. And we're going to see that promise fulfilled when Christ comes. I should have turned the temperature down in here. Anyways, the gospel lesson. Jesus and the 12 are up near the Sea of Galilee, complete Gentile area, and Jesus has performed several miracles. And they bring a deaf man forward. Which, by the way, here's a little joke not connected to anything. One time I was talking to somebody in the store, this is many, many years ago, and they asked me what I did for the living. And I said, I work with the deaf. They heard deaf. They thought I worked with dead people. The lady dropped what she was holding in abject horror. But, so we're talking about a deaf person, somebody who can't hear. And Jesus takes him aside. And it says, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting his tongue and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. One question is, why did he take him aside from the crowd? And I'll get back to that in a minute. Jesus, no sign language. Isn't that amazing? He touches the man's ears. I'm going to fix that. My mouth, I'm going to take care of yours. He touches his tongue first and then that of the deaf man. And with that, he immediately can hear and he speaks plainly. And the people say he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Have you ever wondered why he told the people not to tell anybody? What do the people invariably do every time he says, don't tell anybody? They tell. See, the people were really amazed at what Jesus had just done. So they're telling more of that. But the healing of the deaf man is not the amazing miracle here. He says, okay, I've done this, but there's something far greater coming. Don't focus on this. Be quiet about this because there's something better coming. It's kind of like at Christmas. If a kid has a dozen presents there, and you're playing Santa Claus, and you hand them the box, and the first one's like, no, you know, it's a nice gift, but no big deal. But there's this really big box. It's really cool, and you know it as the parent. But the kid takes the little box and goes, yay, and then runs off to play with it. You took one gift and left 11. See, that's kind of what they're doing. They're focusing just on the healing of the deaf man, but missing the bigger miracle. Again, going back to the Old Testament lesson, being freed from captivity, brought back to their land. Yes, that's amazing, but there's something even more amazing than that. Isaiah says that people are going to return to God. All those sick souls are going to be healed. In chapter 35, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. And the key two words there are everlasting joy. Yeah, you think it's amazing you're going back to the land? The amazing thing is the everlasting crown that you're going to have. That's the miracle. See, Jesus didn't come just to make people feel better. He didn't come just as that miracle worker. Read through the Gospels. It's not about him just performing miracles and amazing people. What would happen to this deaf man, say, in 30 years? 40? 50? Man, you got this guy living a long time. 60 years. He's going to die. Jesus heals him, gives him back his hearing, gives him back his speech, and he's going to die. It's inevitable. See, the healing of the hearing and the speech isn't the main thing. It's the fact that Jesus is offering eternal salvation. And we can earn it, and that's what makes it an amazing gift. And sometimes we don't always treat it the way we should. Sometimes the only thing in a prayer is things like, please God, get me this job, heal me from this disease, help my spouse, work a miracle in my life. Those things aren't bad to pray for, but they're not the amazing thing in a prayer. Because when we only are asking God for our list of things we want done, it's, God, what can you do for me? Instead, what can you do for me? It's what Christ has done for us. Prayers, we should be acknowledging the amazing work of God, that he loves our sinners in spite of ourselves. And considering that's the most amazing thing ever, what do we usually start talking about, say, Monday morning, this time of the year? Football! Which was kind of ironic. I won't tell who it was, but Randy and Jim. We're getting coffee just before Bible study started, and guess what they were talking about? Football. No, there's nothing wrong with it. All right, but we'll talk about the scores. We'll talk about the great plays. As if a team winning actually changes my life. So I guess being a Lions fan, I've had a terrible life since my team always loses. Hey, you don't know the joy it is, the absolute joy it is to be a Lions fan, because you expect them to lose every game. And sometimes they amaze you with a victory here or there. But don't we all cheer for the underdog in a football game? Last year's Super Bowl, how many of you cheered for the Patriots? Did anybody give the Eagles a shot? But they won anyway. Not that I like Philadelphia, I just hate the Patriots. But anyway, talk about the underdogs. We are the ultimate underdog. We have absolutely no chance of earning God's grace. But yet Christ effects our eternal salvation. The Aztecs down in Mexico, they used to play a game, something kind of like lacrosse. And either they had to put the ball in a hole in the wall that was up there or into a hoop. And guess what happened to the losing team? Oh, yeah, they lost their heart, literally. They'd always sacrifice the losing team. We lose. If we try to earn God's grace alone, we lose. We lost because of sin. But yet Christ takes our punishment, takes the death we earned. And it is important to study his word, to take the Lord's Supper, to hear those words, Ephphatha, which means be open. Let me be open to you, Lord. As years went by, I grew out of the amazement of what Star Trek could actually do. But we should never grow out of the amazement of what God has done for us. Now, I conclude with Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.